Okay, so we're on to the we're continuing this topic. Bar Mitzra, the case of someone's our case has been you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven's a neighbor, Shimon is selling his property that's next door to Reuven, and Levi wants to come buy it. And the sugya is about the priority to sell it, or the priority for Reuven to buy the property. So we spoke out last week that the din is on the seller. I'm sorry, the din is on the buyer. The din is that the buy. This is all outside. It's supposed to give priority because the buyer has money. He can go buy somewhere else. He doesn't have to buy here where specifically the neighbor would want it. So he should leave room for the neighbor to buy it. So it's a din on the buyer. It's not a chiyuv on the seller. What's the makar for that? So just to get that clear, because a few people asked the question, what about this case? What about that case? So just to see where we get this from, and then one of the exceptions to that rule, because half the time is learning the halacha, and half the time is learning the exceptions. So if you go on page 2 in the booklet, it's Amud Beis of the Gemara, Kof Ches Amud Beis, and so the Gemara says like this, on line 6. The Gemara says, Zavan me'akum, if you buy it from a guy, so it's not Reuven and Shimon, it's Reuven and some guy, and the guy is selling, the Zavan le'akum, or if Shimon, it's Reuven and Shimon, it's not Levi. So the person buying it is a guy. Zavan me'akum, Zavan le'akum, les be'i mishum dina de bar metzra. There is no halacha of bar metzra on here. So why not? So when we say you sold it to the guy, that we could understand. Why? The Gemara says, because a guy, we're not going to hold him achrai on Yashav HaToiv. He's the buyer. So obviously, and it's not the seller's problem. So the seller put it up for sale. A guy buys it. It's not the seller's problem. The buyer is a guy. And the buyer did not mechuyev to go Yashav HaToiv.
And the seller has no responsibility at all.
The whole halacha is on the buyer. That's the whole point. This is where you see that clearly. Okay. What about, in that case, though, what about the inverse case? So if, what about in the case, what about if the seller's a guy, why shouldn't the Jewish buyer have to leave room for the bar mitzvah? So zog the Gemara, zavan me'akum, on line 8 over there, zavan me'akum, da amar le, ari avrichi loch mi mitzvah. Which Rashi explains to mean, I did, ein lecha yashar atoiv mizeh. You're accusing me of not being Yashav HaToiv. Why do you think I came to buy this property in the first place? Because I was trying to get this guy out of being your neighbor. I was just coming into this deal in the first place for your benefit. I'm a Yashav HaToiv guy. Of course, I'm not, you know, coming and stealing the property for you. I'm here for you. I have your back. This guy's been a guy, goyish neighbor for the last couple of years. Making parties is bothering you. I knew you would want to get rid of him. So I'm buying the property. So Rabbi Yashav explains that since the assumption is that he's coming and doing it l'chatchila for the benefit of the neighbor, so that's considered Yashav HaToiv for the neighbor also. So Ari Avrichi Loch Mimetra, and others learn a little bit different. Others learn is that it's like Yashav HaToiv for the neighborhood. For, you know, I'm getting a guy out of the neighborhood. So right, once I'm in the Yashav HaToiv, I'm a Yashav HaToiv guy. I can bounce out against the other guy. So I'm here for you for the purpose of being Yashav HaToiv. I'm cleaning up the neighborhood. I think that's the way we learned. That's Pasha Pshat. In other words, getting a guy out of the neighborhood is considered, don't share this recording with too many people, but that getting a guy out of the neighborhood is Yashav HaToiv, objectively speaking, across the board. And therefore, you know, we're not gonna require the buyer to start, you know, dealing with the bar mitzvah. The other way to go is Rabbi Yashiv's chat is that he's gufa doing Yashav HaToiv to the neighbor himself. Is that he was here for the neighbor. So that's why when the buyer is a is a guy, then if the seller's a guy, there's no Yashav HaToiv. So a lot of times you'll have this case, right? Very often, a house goes up for sale. One, if the seller is a guy, you don't have to worry about Yashav HaToiv. You can come in and you don't have to mention it to the neighbor. Now, what about the other way around? Zavan le'akum, if the buyer is a guy, then akum vaday lav bar vasisa Yashav HaToiv. We're not going to hold the guy is a buyer. We're not going to hold him accountable for Yashav HaToiv. But who asked that question? But the seller, well, you think the neighbors are going to be happy with the seller? He just sold it and put a guy next to me? I'm not going to be happy with that, right? So the Gemara says an unbelievable thing. Shemute vade mishamtinan le adem kabel le kol unza da'asi le machmase. If a seller, so there's Reuben and Shimon sells it instead of to Levi, Shimon sells it to a guy. No, I'm right. So he said there's no Yashav Yatoy because the guy is not Yashav. But the seller now was Mazik, the neighbor, because he put a guy there.
The whole neighborhood.
And according to what we said before, so he has to take responsibility for any damage that will come because of the neighbor. He has to sign off a waiver and saying, you can hold the account. So if they hold, you know, the guy throws a beer bottle across the yard and now whatever. So the seller has to take responsibility for putting a guy there.
Is it a breach or like sarin basis yashar claim on the seller's end?
It doesn't say that. It says mishamtin olay. We put him in cherem. I mean, I don't know what you want to call that. We put him in cherem until he signs this waiver that he's responsible for the damage caused by the guy. No, it's a no. It doesn't say he's not a shir type. It says he's being mazik.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's grama, so he has to accept it. He has to accept that type of hazard. So now Tosis says, doesn't say that. It's a good question. It's a good question. It doesn't apply to a renter. Now, if you look at Tosis on the side, Tosis says mishamtina le'adam akabel davka she yisrael roitz alikach b'damim shenasan akum. It's only if you have a Jewish seller. A potential Jewish buyer. You have a Jewish buyer that's willing to buy it for the same price, that's a different story. So then you should sell to the Yid. But if there's no Yid that's willing to buy it at that price, so Taisa says you can't put the seller in Chayim now. Okay? Fine. So now, I wanted to just point it out. That's where we got this from. So on the one hand, we are selling to the responsibility. It's a responsibility on the buyer, not the seller. But that being said, that if the seller's a yid and he's selling it to but if the seller's a guy, then the buyer also doesn't have to be worried about Yashar HaTayv. So the case of Yashar HaTayv is all three people are yid, the bar metzra, the seller and the buyer are Jews. That's what we're talking about. Okay? That's what the Gemara says pretty clearly. Okay. So now what we spoke last week was that since it's on the buyer, it's not on the seller. So the proper thing to do, if you are you're a buyer, is to go over to the neighbor. You go over to the neighbor and ask him permission. Do you mind if I buy the house? What did we say last week? If he says, no, the neighbor, Reuven and Shimon, So Levi wants to buy it. He goes over to Reuven and says, would you like to buy the house? And Reuven says, no. He says, you can buy it. And so what do we say the halacha is? He could go around and say, after he buys it, oh, thanks, I'm going to take it from you. So you told me to buy it. Yeah, I told you to buy it from me. That's what I meant. I told you to buy it as a shliach of mine. Why didn't you just buy it? Reuven says, I didn't just go to Shimon because then Shimon would have charged me double the price because I'm the neighbor. So I wanted you to do all the dirty work. Once you did it, I'm going to go take your position. So you have to make a kinyan, we said, in order to get rid of the schus of the bar metzra. So Levi has to make a kinyan with Reuven in order to give him that, to be makna that schus. Okay? That being said, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch which seems to not fit with everything we just said. Okay? Because according to what we said, what would be if Shimon, the seller, went over to Reuven? Which I think that's probably the more common way it happens, right? Shimon goes over to Reuven and says, hey, look, I'm putting my house for sale. We've been neighbors for 30 years. I want to offer you the house. Then does he have to do that? He does not have to do that. But it's a good idea for him to do it. Why? All the place can say it's Eta Toiva. Why is it a good idea? Because otherwise what's going to happen is Shimon's going to put his house for sale. Levi's going to buy it, put a contract. Levi's going to do all the due diligence. And then Reuven's going to come in and take Levi's position. So it's going to make the sale drag out, and so it's much better strategically for Shimon to clear the air with Reuven and say, hey, do you want to buy it? But the way we learned till now, if it's not a din on Shimon, if Reuven tells Shimon, I'm not interested, l'chora, nothing happens. And l'chora, he would have to make a kinyan anyway to get rid of his rights, right? But if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Kuf Ayin Hey, it's Sif Lamed Aleph, which is on page 80, on the bottom of the small page numbers. Okay. So, David, do we have a battery? It looks like it's running out. We have one? So, on page 80, it says, Nimlach HaMoicher. Yeah, so the halacha, if you want to just read it inside, if you go back a page, that's the halacha in 79, the page Sifchav Tes, is the halacha we just said before. The page before, it says, Ba'alakeach, the buyer goes, V'nimlach b'ben ha-meitzar, and he asks the matron, V'amrle, Harei ploini ben ha-meitzar shachar roitza limkar. Hey, Reuben, Shimon is selling the field. Do you want to buy it? Sadezu, Eilach v'ekach mimenu? Can I go buy it? Levi asks Reuben. V'amrle, Leich v'kach, you can go buy it. Loi bitel z'chusay. By saying verbal permission, he did not lose his chus. And even if Levi goes and buys it after he received verbal permission from Reuven, Reuven is still allowed to take Levi's position on the property. Unless he actually made a formal kinyan. Okay? If he said in front of Edim, that's maybe more formal, that's more official, etc. Okay. Now, if you look at Sif Lamed Aleph, which is the next page, page 80, on the next page on the bottom in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Nimlach HaMoicher BeBen HaMeitzah. What if Shimon goes to Reuven? It says, hey, I'm selling my field. We've been neighbors for 30 years. Can I sell it to someone else? Limkor Loi B'Oisan Damim. This is the price. If you wanted to sell it to you. Vamalei Zil Zvin La'alma. Go sell it to someone else. Loi B'Inole. I don't want it. Loi Tzarech L'Mikna Minei. Then he doesn't need to make a kinyan. And by verbally giving permission to Shimon to selling the karka, he loses his rights. So the question is, here, if he says verbally to Shimon that he's not interested, he can sell to someone else, he loses his rights. So what's pshat in that? The chayav would be the opposite. Why do he lose his rights by telling, but this is very important because this taka could happen. So what's the pshat in that?
What happened
before? Before we were saying that if Levi, the outside, the buyer, comes to the neighbor and says, asks permission, and he gets verbal permission, it's nothing. But if the seller gets verbal permission, then it's binding. So the question is, the seller is not even the mandamar over here. So the answer is like this. You know, like for example, there's a rule, tadir v'sheinu tadir, tadir koydim, right? So if you have two mitzvahs to do.
No mishap then you go up there either.
Right.
That's what I mean. You can't tie that to Levi. You know, the only reason I said I don't do it is because
I want you to be my shliach.
You're
saying with the seller, there's no claim like that.
Right.
Maybe also he wants to say, look, we'll put it on the market. Let's see what price you get. Yeah. You know? So let's say you have tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir koydim. Okay, so you have two things to do. You do the one that's first. Okay, now it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and I want to go put up my mezuzah. Should I daven mincha or put up my mezuzah? Mincha is more koydim, but it's not time for mincha now, right? It's only when you have two mitzvahs in front of you, then you have a question: which one comes first, right? Well, anytime you have kedima, it has to be that both people are in front of you, both things are in front. So what if the matron declares publicly, "I'm not a buyer. I'm not a potential buyer on this property." It's not the maizchus bar mitzvah. Not maizchus bar mitzvah is when both people are buyers, both people have cash, both people can come to the table, both people are basically buyers, you have to give it to the bar mitzvah. What if he makes a public declaration, says, I'm not a buyer over here. I can't buy this property. So if he's misalik himself from the running, if he declares publicly, I'm not in the running for the property, so by doing that, he stepped out of not that he lost his chus bar mitzvah, he's not even in the case to begin with. The whole case is only when there's two buyers. That's so the Briskarov explains over here that So the Briskarov explains over here is that the lumdus is a little different. The lumdus over here is that he's like publicly declaring he's not a buyer, but he never actually gave up his rights. So technically speaking, he could change his mind later. He didn't make a kinyan. But by declaring that I'm not a buyer, for example, let's say the guy says, the case of the Gemara says, anything that the buyer, that the seller says, you know, I want the sale to be cash only. And the guy says, I could do it through financing. Right? So let's say the bar mitzvah says, I can buy, but I don't have cash. And the seller says, I want cash. I'm doing a cash deal. Does he have to take the bar mitzvah on a financing deal? The answer is the deal is only available to cash buyers. You're not a buyer. So there's no kedima to you because you're just not the buyer, right? So if he says, I'm not interested in the property, what he's saying is I'm not a buyer over here, that declaration he could say even to the seller. And now the seller basically can go put it on the market and say, we're clear of bar mitzvah now. Not that he was kind of the schos, or not that he was moichelet, but he's basically made a declaration, I'm not a buyer on the case. So if the seller puts up certain conditions and the buyer and the matzim cannot meet those conditions, he's not considered a buyer here. And therefore, you don't have to consider him as the matzim.
Is that what's true if the seller ends up selling it for a lower price? Because then he'd be a buyer at that level.
No.
The guy, he handles with the guy.
No. The buyer is. No. That's then, no. Then it's like harama.
Well, it's not harama. It doesn't work. I said, I'm not interested at 750. If you sell for 7, I'd be interested. So
It's ba'isam damim. It says very clearly. But look at the Shulchan Aruch. He says explicitly, ba'isam damim, in that price. So for that price, at that price, or in those terms, I'm not a buyer. So he declares that you can move on beyond it.
And if
he could change his mind though.
But what if he sells that at a lower price? If I
ask no, then he can come back in. After the closing, he can come back in.
Or you change his mind.
Right.
Changing his mind?
Who?
Why did the master change his
mind? That was the Briskarov said. He said because you were never mocking him the schos real. You just said you're not the buyer, but on this terms you are. Yeah, but remember you asked me if you have a machlek piskachuv and briskarov, would you pass
away? So, why can't you say that the matzim only said what he said so that the seller would go to someone else?
No, because then he would say something else. No, because he wouldn't say that to the seller. He would only say that to the buyer. To the seller, his only possible declaration is, I'm not a buyer here. That's basically the only thing he can say. Okay? Now, one other point I want to get to, a halacha l'maisa point, and then we'll get into a little lumdus, okay? So another halacha l'maisa point is, at what point the Shulchan Aruch says this entire thing, okay, is only talking about, if you look, we just did Chav Tes and we did Lamed Aleph. Go to Lamed, right in between, on page 80 in the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, B'med v'mamurim shetzarach kinyan, this entire thing that you need a kinyan is b'shemachal koidim shekana. Is before the sale. And the whole question is, who should Shimon sell it to? Levi or Reuven? So Levi comes and says to Shimon, you can sell it to me. I cleared it with Reuven. So Shimon should say, well, did you get a Kenyan or not? That whole idea is only prior to the sale. But once Levi buys it, then all it takes from Shimon, all it takes is that Reuven is moichel his chus to take it away. And then that's it. Once Levi buys it, then as long as Reuven is moichel and basically does not exercise his rights pretty quickly, he loses the rights to the property. He doesn't have to make a kinyan at that point. So in other words, this brings up the whole issue of the statute of limitations. How long does this thing go on for? How long? The guy buys the property. Now, 5 years later, Levi can come in, Reuven can come in and say, hey, I want the property, you bought it, I'm the neighbor. At what point, post the sale, how long does he have a right to exercise his rights? So the Gemara says something in Lamed Beis, which is on page 81. The Shulchan Aruch says a lashon, and maybe you'll help me interpret in today's day and age. What it says here is im shehu shah hamatzron shir sheyelach v'yavi mois v'itvenu b'din v'loy tava ivetz chusay. If he heard about the sale, and he heard that Levi bought it, and he had enough time to gather his money and bring money to the table to present himself to buy it off of Levi or to take Levi's position, that's the window of time he has. Beyond that time, he loses his rights. So what does that mean today? It means enough time to get financing. I don't know how long that means.
What's the board? The board is that yourself, like they, it's in the parasha.
The board is that right, no, you know about it. So what are you waiting for? So put yourself together, and now you
right.
Now.
So what's the case with where he tells the seller, "I'm not. It's not."
It's some of that's case. So now he comes right. So in other words, there, you don't need a kinyan. So after the sale, if he knows about it, so once he comes and he loses that window. Now what's the window? The window is enough time to put together your cash.
That is also the thing that I would say that I'm going to the cash. Let's say the cash. And I'm not sophisticated on currency on that. So then the guy sells it to no cash real quick. Then the guy gets a multitude of clients against him and the guy has money.
No, so maybe it means to get together the amount of money it would have taken to buy it. So how long would it take you to get cash? How long would it take you to get the cash? So the assumption is a guy that's putting a cash offer, how long does it take him to get cash? The amount of time it takes to get a, I don't know, go to the bank and take it.
Which is,
to fill the suitcase. What?
Standard residential real estate contract.
It's a financing, no?
The bank is financing.
I don't think that this is talking about 45 days. What? I don't know what it's talking about. I don't know how this would play out in today's day and age exactly, but I don't think it's 45 days. What? 30 for cash, right?
Cash. You would have to get your cash if you have available.
But still, in order to get everything together, make sure the person's okay.
Are you typical
due
diligence?
Right. So in other words, now what happens if the bar mitzvah? You have a lot of excuses. I didn't know. I was out of town. I didn't know the halacha.
You didn't have the money.
I didn't know. I didn't know I could come in after the fact. I got annoyed that this guy came in and took the property, and he's sitting there stewing in his anger for 3 months. He's like, I didn't know I could have done something about it. Right. That's a little more complicated. He doesn't know who the buyer is. Saying. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this. Okay, so I don't know what the shear is over here. That's what I'm saying. I don't know exactly. Maybe let's give it 30. Let's say. So first of all, there's two things. So first of all, the Shulchan Aruch says clearly, if in the meanwhile the guy closed, and he calls you up as the neighbor. And he says, hey, by the way, I need a garbage can. Where do I get a garbage can from? And you tell him, yeah, no problem. Just call this number. If you helped him as a neighbor at all, you lost your rights. That's assumed to be a mechila. The guy called you up and said, hey, friendly neighbor, I just moved in. You know, where do I get a garbage can from? You moved in. I want the house. That's appropriate response. So if the Rambam says, if you helped him at all, then you lost your rights. Okay. But besides that, the more importantly is Sif Lamed Dalet, which is at the end of page 81. So over there it says, Haya ben Ameitzer be Medina Acheres, oy choyle, oy katan. He didn't know about it. He was in Medina Acheres. He was a choyle. He was a katan. He was in the hospital. He didn't. Ve'achas van hivri a choyle, a higdil a katan. Uba ha-hoylech eino yachol le-salkoi. After the zman, you can no longer exercise your rights as the bar matzah. Why? Shemata oymer kein ein adam yachol limkor karka. Sheyoymer akoyne la'achar kamashon. You're going to ruin the entire real estate market. No one's ever going to buy property. So everyone's going to say, in 10 years from now, the guy's going to wake up and say, I want it. So you can't function that way. So Chazal, even though technically this buyer, he lost his chance. He was in the hospital when it happened and he didn't know. Okay, but it's only from the time that it became public knowledge, the sale. So if it was quiet or the way that, or no one knew about it, but from the time that it became public, you have this amount of time that we're talked about to get your, let's call it 30 days. I don't know exactly. And if either you help the guy in between or that zman passed, even though you had no choice, then you lost your rights. Now, obviously in those days, I don't think it was 30 days because the shach talks about a case. What about if you found out about it during Kol HaMoed? So he says, you're still allowed to come after Yom Tov because what are you going to do on the Kol HaMoed? No, so he says it's not. He says the shach says in the top shach in the corner here, im noyd aloy b'chol amoyd, maybe mois miyad achar amoyd ena mas. Obviously, he's learning that the zman was less than a week, because in those days, what'd you do? You went to your backyard and took your shovel, took your cash out of the floor, took your cash out, and now you have it. And if you don't have it, so you're not going to get it, because you know. So it was a certain amount of time that you had. It was very limited. It was less than the time from chol amoyd till yisruchak. So that's the shach. But nowadays, I don't think probably more than that. But that being said, that's the limit of where it goes. Okay. But it's a deraisa concept that the derabbanan are explaining in these parameters, right? What? The suffix is the schus of the lokeh because he's the mochzak. But okay, I don't know exactly what you're, you know, I hear what you're saying, but okay. Now I want to have it's a gishmak lomdus over here, lomdus of hakira, and a very negiah halachal ma'isa case from it, okay, and it's fundamental as a hakadama a little bit. So we said that the way that Levi would be Misalik Ruvain, was making a Kenyan. So one of the Rishonim asks Akash on this. He says, what there's certain items, even if you make a Kenyan, not everything is enforceable via Kenyan. There's something called a Kenyan Dvarim. So for example, let's say I tell you, you tell me, I'm going on a walk with you. I go on a walk every day. You say, oh, you're probably lonely. I'll come with you. He says, I don't believe you. You tell everyone you're going to go on a walk with them. I don't believe you. Make a Kenyan. So I make a Kenyan with them. So now, is it enforceable now that I have to go on a walk with them? I made a Kenyan. So Chazal says it's a Kenyan Dvar. You more kind of something which is not an enforceable something to be, it's not something a Kenyan can be chal on. So the question is, how do you look at the Kedima of Bar Mitzvah? The idea that Levi, the outsider, before he purchases the land, has to go and respect Reuven's property. What's the pshat in that? Is the pshat that Reuven has like a lien on the property? You can monetize it. It's worth something. It's like the right of first refusal. He has a rights in the property. It's almost like a lien. If you're going to sell it, he has a lien on the property. Or, and therefore it's like a schus in the property. So let's call it in yeshivish sprach. It's like a din in the cheftza. You have a real din in the karka. Or it's a din in the gavra. It's just a halacha that the Levi has to be a nice guy, basically. He has to be a nice guy. He has to let Reuven go. But it's not anything that Reuven has a real schus. It's not a real monetary schus in the karka. It's just a halacha that Reuven has to be a nice guy, right? I'm sorry, the Levi has to be a nice guy and let him go. So one of the Mordechai asks Akasha, he says, how is it possible to make a Kenyan on this? It's Kenyan Dvarim Ba'alma. It's a Kenyan Dvarim. He made a Kenyan. Levi went to Reuven and said, I want you to make a Kenyan with me that you're going to let me buy it first. So it says the Mordechai, that's a Kenyan Dvarim. You know, the Mordechai is learning the whole halacha here is Levi should be a nice guy. Reuven is allowed to enforce it. He's allowed to make him be a nice guy, but there's no real monetary source here. So Frek the Mordechai, you can't make a Kenyan on that. It's a Kenyan Dvarim. You know, you're making a Kenyan on something which is not Kenyanable. It's not a forcible via Kenyan.
He's learning that.
Right. He's learning it's just, but the Rishonim all don't learn like that. And all the Rishonim say it's not a Kenyan Dvarim because they hold it's like a monetary source in the property. He has a real source. And when he's making a Kenyan with him, when Reuven makes a Kenyan with, he's really like giving up his source. He's like making a seal.
Sign that source to someone else.
Oh, okay. So that's a great question. So I'll tell you first the first Nafkamina. This is the Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says this Nafkamina. If you want to see it, it's over here on page. I'm not going to read it inside, but it's on page 22. I printed the Reb Chaim here, Binyan Bar Metzra. So it says the Gevaldika Nafkamina. What happens? And this is Mamish Meisim. Anytime there's a case of Bar Metzra, more often than not, it'll be this case. What happens if there's multiple Bar Metzras? There's two Bar Metzras.
Or three.
The Gemara talks about four. If you have a because we're talking about a Sade, you're not talking about, like, you have four. You have a guy in the middle, and then you have four Bar Metzras. So what's the halacha? So clearly the halacha is if one of them comes first, we give it to them. But what if they all come at the same time? They all come at the same time. So what's the halacha? So there's two ways to go, right? What would be the two ways? Either you split it, and how would you split it? So the Gemara says you split it like in a diamond. So each one gets their triangle that's next to their property. You have four, and you split it like this, and then each person will get their quadrant, which if you just want to see the picture of that, it's on page 71 in the Shulchan Aruch. Page 71 brings down that halacha. You see there's an arrow there with the picture. Halakach balach sign. So the sma makes the picture out of it. So that's one way to go. The other way to go is that no, once they're all coming at the same time and they're all equal, at this point, no one has this chus, and the seller could sell the property to whoever he wants, basically, even though he's really indifferent, he doesn't care. So let him make a girl or let him figure it out, and he can sell it to whichever one he wants.
Each one's a buyer.
Oh, very good. Hold on. So the Mechaber Paskin seemingly that you sell it to whoever you want. There are more Paskins that you should split it. What's the Machloikis here? So explain your sheet. Explain what you were saying. Why do you think what? You think which way?
Without plugging you back into the Mechira, each one is being Mechaber.
So you think you should be allowed to choose and sell to whoever he wants. Right, so he's saying, look, I'm also a neighbor. So why do I have to step away for you? Essentially, right? So why should one neighbor have to step away in to benefit another neighbor? Right? It wouldn't make sense to say that one neighbor should benefit, should step away for another neighbor. Let him buy the whole thing if the seller chooses to sell it. Right. So the way Reb Chaim says it is that the machlekes here is based on what's the nature of the schus of the bar mitzvah. If the schus of the bar mitzvah is just a din in the gavra, it's just a din in the buyer, that the buyer has to be respect the schus, respect the yashav atoiv, respect the rights of the neighbor, and let him go first because, you know, it's appropriate that he should go first. But if the buyer is also a bar mitzvah, so I don't have to respect your rights, I have the same right as you. So there's no yashav atoy for me to step away and let you buy it. So lechatchila we're talking. So no, they're all four bar mitzvahs. So that's the Rambam. That's the Rambam hold. So the Rambam says. So therefore, we are kind of touching. It's not really a schus. It's just a din in the buyer. So the buyer doesn't have to go ahead and be mevater his position for another bar mitzvah, right? Because they're both in the same. They both have the same yashav atoy. However, if it's a schus, it's a monetary schus in the property, I have a lien. So all four of them have a lien. So you can't, it's not a matter of me stepping away from you. I have it, you have it. There's a matronus lien. There's a matronus lien on the property, and the seller has to respect, can't do anything. And each buyer has a lien on the property. So now, therefore, they have to split it.
That's assuming that the four parts are exactly the same.
Oh, so Chaim talks about that. What about if you have three, and then on the fourth side there's two people? So would you? So he says it's a machlokes rishonim in that also. If you split it, do you split it in five equal parts, or do you say that all three neighbors get three, and then the top two get half of a portion? But I'm not getting into that now. You understand what I said? You got that? Yeah. It's a little shiloh rishonim.
And the seller said, "It's up to you guys. It goes to the highest."
We're assuming that there's a price here. What? Who's ever willing to pay more? This is the price. They're not going to outbid each other.
I would think the lien just needs to be an outside buyer, not another neighbor. And so the world of four neighbors. No one has a lien that
they can
hold against someone else.
No, okay, so that's the Reb Chaim coming to say not like that. You want to read it inside, we can read it inside. The Reb Chaim says that the pshat in the, if you look on page 23, Reb Chaim, he says it very nicely. It's in the, page 23, it's on the right column, the paragraph that says, V'hanira. V'hanira b'zeh de'mefarsh me'el esfirlu, d'schus bar metzah havi al guf ha-mekach. The schus of the bar metzah is in the guf of the sale. On this sale, bar this sale is subject to the bar mitzvah lien. And it's not just a din on the buyer. It's like a certain lien that's chal on the sale. And if this sale is subject to bar mitzvah, then the sale is going to be guided by the halachas of that lien. And if all four people have the lien, they're going to split the property equally. That's basically how he says it. You want to know what happens if one comes first? Maybe it's an assumed mechila.
Sure.
He's asking why. What happened to the guy's chos? Okay, you're getting lumped this. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because it's an assumed mechila and the guy doesn't need to make a kinyan because it's. He has that, so he says because at that time, if at the time of the sale they never explained that they want it, so then it was never chalder's chos. That's really what he said. When the sale was chal with his bar mitzvah, not with theirs, something like that.
At what point does the bar mitzvah have to say, you know, the shopping has to say, you know, one of the other mitzvahs that I'm under contract to set the property, at that time, they should say, At that point, the price is right.
That's what he's asking. What does it mean, bo'u kulam bevasachas? Bo'u kulam bevasachas means at any point before the sale, or it means the first offer being put? Like, what's the likelihood they all came at the same?
It's not done yet. So now it's not done yet.
Right.
So now,
is that too late? I would say at that point, that's too late. Once he's a contract, he got it. The sale hasn't happened yet, but it's not called Bo Kulum B'Vasachas.
Bo Kulum B'Vasachas means that they came before the sale was.
That's what you're saying it means.
That's what it means. Bo Kulum B'Vasachas. I mean, they all walked into the house at the same time. They walked in together.
What?
Both arms. One guy walked in before the other one. He gets the minion. They all are using their sparmets before the sale happens. It's the Lachapila. It's the Lachapila Bar Metzah. This is the Lachapila Bar Metzah.
So if it happens in the Chiddush, of course, obviously.
So,
if what you're saying in the video is not a rabbi, what's the sign that everybody
has to come? If one rabbi
comes and
does
the closest and stuff, right?
So the obviously,
it's still,
I'm not sure. Here, you want to? I don't know. I'm not sure. You're right. Is what does it mean lachatchila? If at what point? It's in Sifir Aleph. It's the Ramon Sifir Aleph. He says it's on page 72. Umil lechatchila yimkor lekulam biyachad, and that's right. Ubok tassim atzarim v'ktassim medina ches. That's what it says. So the sma over here in chaf, it's not clear. That part is taka not so clear. Now, who asked that question? If the matzrin can sell his right of first refusal to someone else, it's a good question. So according to this, the Rishonim that say it's a monetary schos, and in order to get rid of that schos, you have to make a kinyan with Levi. So what if you sold it to someone else? What's that? What's the rights of that other person?
Could be that this schos is a personal schos. A lot of times, schos are not
transferable.
Yeah, but you're right. You sell the property.
What? So the closest I found to it is like this. Look at Sif Lamed Hey in page 82. Page 82, on the top of the page, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it a little bit, but he doesn't. I couldn't find anyone say beferish, but the Shulchan Aruch says the following, page 82, the top, Sif Lamed Hey. Hayu amatzronim rabim. There's many matzronim. Umachar echad mehem zechusel alakeach. One of them sold his position. So imagine there's four matzronim, and Levi wants to go buy the property. Now he's up against four guys. So he's trying to go to each guy by him, you know, one by one. In the meanwhile, I got to one of the guys. He got to one of the neighbors. The other ones are still, you know, holding out. So he bought the position of one. Now he wants to say, now that I bought the position of one of the matzron, I'm a matzron. Now if I offer first, I'll get it. Because that's the thing we said before, that if all four of them are there and one of them comes, so let me be at least like, fine, I can't get rid of them, but at least I'll be like one of them. And then once I'm like one of them, I can get in from the inside. So he says, Umachar echan men zchusel alekeach. And then Levi bought his, one of the four matronim's position. Afilu bekinyan, he get it with a kinyan. Yecholim ha'acherim l'salkoi. The other neighbors can get rid of him. He's not a matron relative to the other neighbors. The other neighbors will still have a kadima over him. Why? Why? So I thought you would say why, because it's not transferable. Right? Well, of course it's like that, because it's not transferable. But you look at the Sma, he says a different reason. Look at the Sma in Samchalf. It's the last, second to last thin line on the inside column. He says, V'atam. Do you see that where he says, V'atam? The reason for this halacha? V'atam. Ki v'andi mikol makayim. Regardless, zeh lekeach einoy matzor. He bought the rights and he paid for the rights, but he's not physically a matzon. Sarech lases at tov yosher im matzon imachirim. He's still obligated in tov yosher to the other neighbors. The whole logic was when there's all four neighbors. What's the logic? We said neither one. He doesn't have to respect the other one more than himself. But here he's an outsider, so therefore the other ones have a bigger right in the property, and he has to respect their position as a matzon. So smashma to me from the sma that it is transferable really. But you're not physically a neighbor. But that means regarding other people, it could be he would have a kadima over them.
So if the guy really wants to get the kadima, he's going to actually buy the property from one of the four, and then he becomes a matron.
Yeah. Oh, what if you become a matron after it goes for sale? It's not so possible. Okay, fine. But that's, you have to be a novi for that. So I'm saying, so you know, so the that means it sounds to me from the Sma that the Sma is learning. No, David?
Why if I sell the property, if the matzon sells his house, why the new buyer doesn't buy the kadima also? Why does he buy the exclusive? How could it be worse?
When you buy the house, when? After it sold or after it went for sale?
Shimon's house went for sale. I sold it on Sunday. Monday, Reuven sold his house.
Yeah, because he wasn't the matzah at the time of the sale.
But why can't he sell the exclusive? What would he sell
with the house?
Forget it. So that's just, if he could sell his in the bar mitzvah, so he could sell the he's selling the house.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But right, exactly. It's Ein L'Davar Soif at that point. That's what we saw that. We saw that it can't go on forever, otherwise it's Ein L'Davar Soif. But this case, you mean that why would a potential buyer have to respect this guy? I mean, if it's a din in the buyer, so now you have Yisachar's over here, and now he has to go respect Levi because Levi bought the rights from Shimon and Reuven. It doesn't. So I would say that you're right, but on a b'dieved level, you're right. So it's not nogeya. You're saying it's not nogeya klap anyone else because we monoshak on a b'dieved level. Once he bought it, for sure, no one else can get rid of him. And on a lechatchila level, it would be hard to imagine that somebody else has to respect his position. If this guy bought the rights from the matzah, now he's coming in and he makes an offer on the house. So. Well, how is that going to help you? Regarding all the other matzronim, we're paskening, we don't respect his rights. Regarding anybody else, no one else is going to be able to get rid of him, but no one else is, he's not going to be able to get rid of anyone else. So, anyway, he was first. He put the offer on the house. And if another guy put the offer on the house, okay, so you're saying, let's say he's going to go and tell someone else, you're not allowed to because I bought the position of matzronim. So he's saying, but he's tining Avram, that the other person doesn't have to respect this guy's rights because it's not a matzah.
That's the yediyah in the smile. It's not like that.
No, so when is it negeh? You're saying it's negeh then.
The yediyah in the smile was not like that. That was
right.
Not like that.
Right. No, I would say that. No, you're right. I'm sticking with that. Right. I told you. I went ahead and told you, stay away because I already bought the rights of the matzahs here.
That's prior.
Yeah,
now
prior.
He does the whole shiach thing afterwards. Oh, you and my shiach to buy property. I'll bore you. You are.
Afterwards. Okay, afterwards. But
no, the same bargain is like you could wait until he consummates the sale, then you go over there and say, okay, fine, I'm trying to think if we're doing this.
No, that you're not, that's what we're asking. You cannot, as the buyer of the matzronas, you cannot have any rights against the other matzrona. That's for sure. Our own question is what about against another guy? Oh, you're saying right.
This guy says, oh, I want the matzronas rights.
Now you're my shliach. He wants to say b'diev. That's what he's saying, because no, you can't, right, that's a little more severe. Yeah.
You think does this mahab is only different?
I couldn't find this halacha.
You think the mahab is talking only the country?
Yeah.
We're saying you make
midiyah. Yeah.
And you're such touching against somebody.
Right, right. Now,
can you find that out?
What's with the, also question is, what's with the money that he paid for this, right?
Huh?
So he passed because they have to give back. It's not possible. Okay. One more. One. Yeah. What do you think? You see the dick, and I think it's pretty clear. I didn't find anyone talk about it.
There's no yashrus for this guy. He's an outsider. Yashrus is the guy who actually lived there.
Right.
I don't think there's any yashrus once the guy comes in.
Right. I mean, what's that yashrus to respect the guy that bought it?
It's not yashrus.
Right. Yeah. Okay. There's another case to just get into now. Is what happens whenever we smell out any sort of harama? If you smell that, some sort of trickery over here. So because this is all Tzvayash V'atoiv, we're going to be very strict on not allowing any tricks over here. Okay? So the first case that the Gemara talks about in this is a whole bunch of cases that talk about harama. Okay? So harama is trickery. So the case is a great case over here. It's the first line on Amud Beis, page one. The line one on page two. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Matana les ba mishum dina de bar metzra. One line. A matana, a gift, there's no dina de bar metzra on a gift. So what's the case? The case is Reuven and Shimon, and Shimon didn't sell it to Levi, but rather Shimon gave it to Levi. Why did Shimon give it to Levi? He must like Levi a lot. So there's no bar mitzvah on that, because the whole, like we're saying, the whole din of bar mitzvah is when the moicher is indifferent. Is when the moicher is indifferent. He doesn't really care. But here the moicher clearly wanted to give it to Levi. Levi's his friend. He gave it to him as a gift. So, and also from Levi's perspective, what's Levi going to say? Go somewhere else. I can't go anywhere else. No one else is offering the property for free. So therefore, we say, you know, Matana is not subject to the din of bar mitzvah. Okay, fair enough. Then the Gemara says, Amar Meimar, ikasav le'achrayis, is b'im shim din of bar mitzvah. If Shimon took some sort of insurance on the gift to Levi, and he says, if this property ever gets taken away from you, he gave him some sort of title insurance. If this property ever gets taken away from you, I'll give you another one instead. So now we say there is din of bar mitzvah. Why? Because the Gemara says a logic. The Gemara says, who in the world guarantees insurance on a gift? Look, I'm giving it to you. It gets taken away, so you're no worse off than you were before I gave it to you. I'm not going to go and guarantee my gift to you, obviously. It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, why would this guy have guaranteed the money, guaranteed the gift? Obviously, it wasn't a gift. Obviously, it was a sale, and it was registered as a gift, and all the cash went under the table.
Or could it be auto money?
He bought the property. He gave him cash. He didn't record the cash, and he went to the city and recorded it as a gift. And it says $1 sale price it says $1 sale price on the price. And then where's all the money? Cash somewhere. So it says the Gemara, that type of deal, subject to bar mitzvah now. Because you're playing games. Shimon is not playing games with Levi. We're not going to let Levi now get into that property and not have to respect the bar mitzvah because he's playing games and trying to register it as a gift.
And circumventing
the Toiv Yashar halacha. So cases like that where Levi's trying to get in there by circumventing the obligation of Toiv Yashar, we're not going to allow that. And Chazal noticed that it's a little suspicious, this you know, $100 price for this property, right? So especially if there's all of a sudden there's insurance on it, obviously it was a sale the whole time, like Rashi says. Rashi says, there was a sale and the money was somewhere else. And the Mela, he would lose his right. So we're going to learn next week a few cases like that of Harama that the Gemara is going to go in order of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to introduce that also. So just to chazer over. So we went back over is, number one is that even though the schus is to the, is the din is the responsibility of the buyer, but the seller, Eitz HaTovah, he should ask. And if the seller asks and the bar mitzvah says he's not interested at that point, even without a kinyan, the seller can proceed and declare that there's no other buyer here. And the bar mitzvah doesn't have to worry about it. We talked about, is it a kinyan dvarim? Is it a schus mamon? Or is it just a schus gavra? We said maybe that's the machlokes, whether when there's four matzaranim, do you split it? Or do you just respect one of the people? We said that's a machlokes between Mechab and Rama. And then we got into the statute of limitations, is that it's enough time for the person to produce the cash, or if he helped him and such. In the meanwhile, he also lost his chus. And also that after the fact, you know, mechila works, you don't have to actually make a kinyan after the fact either. Okay, so we'll stop here. It's not that simple. No, but I could not find the answer to that question.
The buyer.